All right, we're doing more on the link between soloing and chords. If you can find a chords, if you know the major pentatonics, then you can play the major pentatonic with whatever chord you're on. In this case, we're on G, and you can play a G major pentatonic in the open position, and all those notes fit right in with the G chord. If you don't know the major pentatonics, you just go down 3 frets from the root, which is, in this case, G. You go down 3 frets and you get to E. That's E minor pentatonic, same business. All those notes of an E minor pentatonic will fit with a G chord. And so there's multiple ways to do it. You can strum a set number of, like a set number of beats, let's call it 1 bar. And then play notes like 2, 3, 4. Just go back and forth, or you can make it longer. Let's do 2 bars each. That's probably a bit fast to switch back and forth, like 2, 3, 4. To do it is to, well, there's probably like 3 ways to do it. That was one way where it's strictly chords, then notes, and never the twain shall meet. Next way to do it is you kind of still keep strumming and you fiddle around with the, usually it's the upper notes, the upper strings that you fiddle around with, and you just change some of them, like you strum. But I'm still strumming. Even lift off, like in that example, I hit the third string with my first finger. I lifted off the first finger from its usual position on the fifth string and went to the third string. For a minute, it's not going to matter. But mostly I'm fiddling with the extra. Alright, so try some of that while you're strumming. Done so far is the one on the third string. Just reach for it. Yeah, even that in of itself is very good. When you go it gives it some movement. I mean, what we're really doing is like mimicking piano. The funny thing about piano, they'll never sit there and just plunk out G, B, and D like ding, right. Ding, ding, ding. It'll sound hard, like some little kid or something. They always move the voices around. Guitarists, you know, not so much for some reason. But we have even some, you know, intermediate, you know, well into their intermediate stage guitarists have a separation in their minds between chords and licks. Maybe even some advanced players, I don't know. And then the third way to do it is you just keep the lower strings ringing, but you're not really strumming. You're still picking the individual notes, but you have the lowest strings of the chord still in place. So I'm demonstrating. When I move my first finger off, I still had that low G ringing. So it's not just it doesn't sound like the notes are just like naked like that, you know. Even just one note under it, listen to how that sounds. And another thing I'm doing is, I just realized this, I'm making them legato, like I'm on purpose. You know, they teach you in scale books to make everything like clear, but I'm on purpose not doing that. I'm blurring as much as possible. Right, so try some of that, like strum some G, and then see if you can just hit it once, the lower strings, and then pick some of the upper strings. Yeah, that was a good first attempt. I knew what you meant. Obviously, all three of those take a little practice.
Yeah.
But very good. And then the one we didn't record was the one where it was C and A minor. So, you know, these are very common examples. If you take a C chord, you go down three frets, you're at A minor, starting on the open fifth string, and you're... And you can do any of those... on a C chord. I'm just going to demonstrate. The first way was chords and notes separately. So I know I make it look easier than it is. Second way, you still strum, but then you fiddle around with the upper voices. That's a technical term. Fiddle around. 3, 4. Very effective. Last way, you just let the low bit ring out and you pick the notes on the upper bit. So you're not really strumming, you're picking, but you're letting it ring. 3, 4. You know, and lots of songs do stuff like that. So for homework, experiment with... for common keys, like D. I'm not going to tell you the answer. You know, where would be... We're dealing with open strings, so you don't want to get a position... When I say D, all right, I'm going to help you a little bit. Actually, all right, I'm going to help you on this, because this is a little different. If I'm going home and my homework is to find the relative minor of that particular key and use those notes as notes with which to embellish the chord, right? The nearest D position there, you might choose the one on the fifth string, second fret, right? And if you put first finger there and you play that position, we know it as the A shape. None of those are open strings, so it's not going to help you that much. You want notes that go right through your chord, okay? And this brings up an interesting thing, because the nearest one to where you are, you can't. It would be if you played that first note on the fifth string, second fret with finger 3. You're gonna. By the time you get to the third string, you're out. You can't reach that. It would be if you did it up an octave, it would be on the 11th fret. So you have to skip that note. Or figure out where it is on a different string, but that's beyond the scope of today. Let's do it, actually. Actually, let's do it. You would play the position, so bring the key of B minor, the relative minor of the key of D. How do you find, let's just review, how do you find the relative minor so fast? Well, the relative minor is at the sixth scale degree, and rather than starting at some kind of D and counting up do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, you could treat the root in question as 8, because the phenomenon of the octave, 1 equals 8, and the half steps in the major scale are between 3 and 4 and 7 and 8. So if this is 8, then 7 must be back a whole step. Well, how do you go back a whole step from open 4th string? Well, open 4th string is the same as 5th string, 5th fret. And so you just go back 1, and you're at the 7th scale degree, and then you go back 2 frets, and then you're at the 6th scale degree. That's how you get the 3 frets down business. All right. But maybe I'm going a little fast, but you would be up here would be your pattern, but you have to just leave that note out or find it on the previous string. I'll explain what I mean. We start at B, 5th fret, 2nd, 5th string, 2nd fret. and then fourth string open, and then fourth string second fret, and then we're gonna skip a note, and then we got the third string second fret, third string second fret, and then open second string, and then open top string and second fret. So you have to kind of picture that scale. It's a little difficult with open strings, especially we've got one note behind where we can't reach. But those... Good. And if I may make your job a little easier, usually we just embellish the top strings anyway. So don't even worry about the lower position for right now. If you have a D chord... Alright, do it with me, play D. You can pick up that top voice on the top string so it's open. You can put it back. You can take the second string and make that open. And you can, that's pretty much it, really. But that's enough of an embellishment for a bar of music or something. I mean, usually songs don't hang on one chord for very long. So it doesn't have to be a lot of stuff, you know. The exercise I'm making you do that, like, you know, I'm actually giving you a lot of, like, it's very dense. But in real life, it can be much looser than that. Just one or two embellishments goes a long way, if you see what I mean. I'm just packing it all in for teaching purposes. And you might hear that in, like, an intro to a song or something. You probably recognize some of these. You know, I don't recognize... You know, but you probably would recognize... That's all just embellishments on a D, you know. That's a great example right there. Sorry. You know, hit song, beautiful... There's thousands of them. These things are just so much fun. Your homework is to do like the common open chord. C, we did C, we did G, we did D. How about A? You're not going to do it now, but think about what would be my relative minor. Where are the notes in relation to A or even, you know, I said don't use positions that aren't open strings, but in the case of A, you could play it with finger one, and now you got three fingers above that second fret to fiddle around with, so you could do that. The rules are up to you. I'm giving you a major hint on that one. E would be another one, you know. And that's probably enough for now. Actually, as long as we're on this subject, after you do that for like a week or two, you can do the minors. The minors are easier in terms of matching the pentatonic because you don't have to do the three frets down thing. Like A minor is A, is A, you know, and D minor is. But that will be, you know, a week or two from now. But as long as I'm on the topic, I'm bringing it up, you know. So imagine what it's going to be like. I'm just going to pick to demonstrate for you. I'm going to pick a simple chord progression of G, E minor, C, and D. Now, because G and E minor are relative minors from each other, the notes don't change. All right? Way number one, I'm gonna just play notes separately. Three, four. Way number two, I'm going to strum but embellish the notes of each chord as I go along. Thank you. number three, I'm gonna just let the low bit ring and sing the notes but different style. Right? And that takes you a long way. I'm giving you like a major, don't expect to get it all in one. I'm making it, I'm kind of really boiling down the essence of it. You know, but don't expect to get it in a week, you know. But that's a pretty cool thing. I can't resist. One little thing. You can do the lower voices too. I said mostly you're going to embellish the upper voices, but you can do the lower voices. It has a different effect. Very cool effect. Like if you're on C. It's a pretty poor demonstration. Here's G. Etc., right? So that's very cool.